And welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. Florian Harbich is a New Zealand filmmaker. You might know him from Kaikoi Demolition and Woodenhead. He's got a new film coming up. It's Rubbings from a Live Man, and it premieres at the New Zealand International Film Festival. Russell Brown talks to Florian.
Florian, you seem to me to be a director of an unusual range. I mean, you came to most people's attention with a fairy tale in Woodenhead.
Yeah.
And then you flopped right over and made a documentary on Kaikoi Demolition. And this new film seems to be somewhere in the middle. It's not quite
a documentary, is it? Because, there's sort of fantasy in Kaikoi or imagined things, but it's disguised as documentary. And then Woodenhead has a lot of kind of real things in it as well. Like, for example, the characters that are in the film.
Do you like that blurring of the lines?
I do. But and with this film, yeah, it's a real hybrid documentary in the sense that it's a doco performed entirely by Warwick Broadhead.
So do you call it a reenactment, or is it a performance of him inside his own story?
Well, the film's it's labelled a documentary, but because it's because there's no other people talking about Warwick giving trustworthy accounts that you see in normal documentaries, it's quite a subjective film, and you kind of have to make your own mind up about things and find your own kind of truth and sort of read it more like an artwork or something.
Right, because I suppose the other thing you would normally do for documentaries, especially retrospective ones, is you go and find all the stock footage, all the stuff that everyone else has done. But
well, Warwick's never ever recorded any of his work. He's never let people, if he saw someone taking a photograph while he's having a show, he'd stop, he'd get up, get the camera, and he'd break it in front of everyone. But so it's not it was really made in the present, and all the performances Warwick's done have been made specially for the film.
So what was the philosophy behind never allowing anyone to record any of his work?
Well, Warwick described it to me. I don't know what you think of this example, but he said it's seeing an animal in the wild, like a zebra in Africa, is not the same as seeing it in a zoo behind bars. And he was just talking about theatre has to be experienced, in the moment. And he loves the idea that people walk away from a performance and sort of have their own memories. And after time, they imagine things that might not have even happened or different. And, he really loves that side of it.
So how did this come about? He's actually allowed himself to go on now and his performance is explicitly being filmed. How did that happen?
Well, I think it popped up for Warwick in a really important time in his life. As a human being and creatively, and before we made the film, some really intense things had happened in Warwick's life, and I guess I sort of pushed Warwick into the challenge, and
did he take some talking into it?
Yeah, I always have to do a bit of persuading every time I do a film, but the thing that was really hard with this film is the film is so forensically intimate, it's really goes quite deep into Warwick and into his different personalities and sides, and there were the usual questions which I think pop up for lots of documentary filmmakers is why are you telling the story, and why, and it's such a personal thing, and Warwick realized 2 weeks into the shoot that oh my god, I'm exposing myself to all these people I don't know, and to strangers, and there's some really difficult stuff in the film, but it has such a moving story and inspirational that's kind of the reason, that Warwick and we all pursued. And
so that wasn't the deal when you kicked off. You didn't, maybe neither of you knew it was going to be quite so intimate and forensic.
Well, I was hoping it would be, and I was a scientist, and I was always really pushing kind of Warwick to go places that were sort of hard to go to, because I didn't really want to do a fly on the wall documentary. I'd seen a few of those before doing Rubbings from a Live Man, and I really decided I don't want to make a film like that, just a bit
Because it strikes me as quite a classic story, especially New Zealand are the story of the 20th century, coming out of 50s suburbia, which was a kind of a blank place and maybe not fitting, and then finding himself out there in the world. Is that
totally
is that how it happened for him?
Definitely. Yeah, and the story of the film was it's about human life, and the film starts with birth, you know, and it goes through Warwick's life. And yeah, and Warwick's had such a remarkable life. Like some of the things he performs in the film, he reenacts bits of his life. Like he even reenacts his birth. There's a scene in the film, you know, where Warwick
idea was that?
Well, it was my idea to have it in the film, but I actually went to one at Warwick's. I went to a 60s birthday party out at Whorapu, and every hour there was a performance. And at 6 in the morning, there happened to be a pool table in the lodge at Whorapu, and Warwick was like reenacting his birth on the pool table, and all the guests were like midwives, and everyone was calling, you know, going, push, push. And yeah, and when Warwick came out, everyone was like, oh, he's so beautiful, he's so beautiful. And you know, I learned, and when Warwick was born, like his father said, oh, he looks like a skinned rabbit, which, you know, and so this was like this really beautiful, loving performance. And yeah, and that's, so I asked Warwick if we could have it in the film, and you know, that's kind of how
and he was happened. Okay with it. Well, yeah. That's quite a big step, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And Warwick, he's like, his performance, he really goes there emotionally. Like he was really like, you know, a newborn child when we did it, seeing, you know, light for the first time. We did it, it was a ground booth. We shot it like near the domain, and he was coming out of the ground and walking and seeing light for the first time, hearing, smelling. And then, but then we had, because we're a low budget film crew, we had some motorists on the motorway that saw like a naked man. And we had like, had some, yeah, the cops came. And, but
yeah, I can't think of a film that I've ever seen that's like what you're describing. Did you have a particular film in your head that you're inspired by? Or was
No, it's like, because, I mean, Warwick and I both got really strong styles, and I think we're just really lucky, the marriage, but they really work nicely together. Like it's a real, yeah, it's kind of like a wedding or something. And also like Chris Pryor, my DOP, who's just done an amazing job shooting the film, and we edit it together, and Philippa Campbell, the producer, like it's happened really organically. And I do love, like, when you make a documentary, that you don't kind of that the style, the visual language kind of reflects the subject matter. Yeah,
is this a kind of a hard film to get made?
This is like, for me, like, I mean, making it was it's the hardest, most,
because it seems like it would be a hard one to explain.
Yeah,
to the people you want to get money from.
It's been the hardest film for me to make, like as a filmmaker and as a human being, and sometimes I felt like I'm like just pushing, you know, Warwick and putting someone through a lot of pain for like a film, for an artwork. It's like, you know, but now like Warwick is like so good, and he's really like so delighted by the film, and you know, really gets it too. And in terms of the funding, if that was your question, like Philippa Campbell, who's a really great producer, like she produced Rain and Black Sheep and right. films like that. And so I think she was able to present to the Film Commission, you know, probably one of the most, I think, I don't know, innovative, or I don't know, I wouldn't say unusual, but a project that might not always get Film Commission funding. And the Film Commission came on board, like, when we showed them some material, they came on board straight away, and, like, when we pitched it to them, it was a really strong response. So, yeah, and they're right behind the film.
So where's the film go from here? It's showing in the film festival?
Yes, yeah. Yeah, this is the premiere is, like, the world premiere, which is really cool. And what we're doing is we're hoping it's going to premiere internationally in a really big festival, because the thing, you have to kind of plan festivals. Like, it's no use getting it into some smaller overseas festivals now, because then a big one won't take it.
Wow, like, that's nice that you're actually in that position to be able to shoot for the moon and go for one of the big film festivals.
Yeah, it's on 35mm, because my last films were on digital video, and that always was harder with festivals.
It a challenge for you? Because with digital video, you can always just, you know, record over it and start again, whereas film, you know, your mistakes cost you money, don't they?
Yeah, well, actually, we did shoot it digitally, but we used film lenses, and we shot it on such a high format that it was, hard drives were expensive, so we were actually, you know, it felt like shooting on film, and then it got transferred to film, and as a result, it doesn't quite look like film, and it doesn't definitely look like video. It's like the film, it's got its own kind of technical style too.
Right, and I presume this film is going to be your life for the rest of the year, but you're also working on a feature, Permissive Paradise. Can you tell us anything about that?
Yeah, well, Permissive Paradise is a story. It's kind of about being alive and being free, and it's inspired by my father's experiences, who was a photographer in London during the 60s, and I just grew up with all these really amazing stories from him and images that that I finally kind of turned into a script. But I have to say, Rubbings from a Live Man has been such an intense project, you know, time demanding, and with all, so I've for the last year I've put all my, you know, I've just focused on that, and I haven't actually looked at Permissive Paradise. I'm going to do that probably in a few weeks.
Right.
Yeah, and I'm making another documentary as well, Land of the Long White Cloud, so that'll be my next project.
That's Florian Hubbage, and if you'd like to see his film, not long to wait now. It premieres on Sunday the 20th of July. Coming up after the break, we talk to Ant Timpson about the 48-hour Furious filmmaking finals, and Ryan Hutchings investigates Beyond 2000 today.